Good morning and welcome to the Divine Service here at Zion Lutheran Church. We thank you for joining us in person, online, or on the radio this morning. This morning we have with us Pastor Joshua Tylan, the pastor at Camp Silka, proclaiming God's Word from the pulpit this morning on the topic of God's Word Endures for the Family. Let us turn our hearts and minds now to worship as we sing our opening hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the September 19th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this morning's broadcast are Steve Sauer, Ken Richard, and Brian Featon. Steve and Donna Sauer are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in praise to him for all of his many blessings, and Robert and Patty Clem are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for all of their blessings on their 46th wedding anniversary on September 13th. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 655, Lord Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, hymn 655, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only begotten Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
It is in vain that you rise up early and late go to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of the Lord.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth.
Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Visit the homes in which our people dwell, granting that families may dwell together in peace, sharing eternally your blessings. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. Our readings and the psalm of the day are all intended to reflect the idea of family. As we've already read through the psalm of the day, the importance of family and the blessing that children are. Our Old Testament reading is the creation of Eve, husband and wife given to each other to procreate and bring families into the world. The epistle reading focuses on the jailer at Philippi, where we find that the gospel is not just for adults, but we read that his entire family was baptized. And then the gospel reading revolves around Jesus, the boy Jesus in the temple, the holy family, the patience shown by Jesus' mother and father as they seek him out, and the obedience that Jesus gives them in return. Our Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, the second and third chapter. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. According to the table of duties, what does the table of duties say in regards to parents?
Fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Our second reading from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And as his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And then he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of our God, we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end.
Then I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church.
I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
And I look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 862, O Bless the House, hymn 862, found in the Lutheran service book.
Majestic is your name in all the earth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. The psalmist goes on to say that, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. You wouldn't know that by the way people treat family and children these days. Not that they always just utterly despise it, but it seems that, in our modern world, in many ways, due to sort of medical advancements through birth control, but even more so through horrible things like abortion, our attitude towards family has gone one of two ways. Either, at the worst, children are a curse that ends our life as we know it. You get that when people think that, well, I'm going to have a baby now, so my life is over, right? Everything is going to be different and that's bad. Or at best, children are a choice that we make. I've decided now is the appropriate time to have children. We've decided that we want to start a family now. But notice where that puts the emphasis. We build the house. We will reward ourselves with a child or two. But it's us doing the building. It's us doing the work and not the Lord. But the psalm tells us exactly the opposite. It is God who gives children. And it is God who rewards us with them. Biblical history, the story of salvation is familial, is based around a family. More than that, it is patriarchal. That's a bad word these days. It's passed from father to son, down through the ages. God is the father to Adam. He creates him out of the dust of the ground, breathes life into his nostrils, and then from Adam on down through the line, it is passed from father to son, through Noah and all the way to Abram. And when God calls Abram from Ur to come to the land of Canaan and promises to give it to him there, from that point in Genesis chapter 12, all the way through, the whole rest of the Bible is the story of one family. Just one. And how through that one family, God would fulfill his promise to put an end to death, to crush the head of the serpent, to forgive our sins, and give life and salvation. In other words, what I'm trying to get at here is that Jesus is God building a family for the sake of the salvation of the world. Jesus is the Son of God. In Jesus, the Father, God the Father, gives his Son to the world as the ultimate gift. Jesus is that arrow in God's quiver that will pierce the heart of evil. Jesus is the power of God to destroy the power of sin that keeps us from God, because in Christ, at his death, God wipes out everything that separates us from our true Father. Jesus is the arrow that destroys the devil's accusations, those sins that he would bring up against us that would help us to feel unworthy to enter into God's presence, that would tell us just stay home. Don't bother going to church because you don't belong there in the first place. Christ is the arrow of God to destroy all such accusations. Christ is the arrow in God's quiver that destroys our fear of death. Christ is risen from the dead. And because he has bound you to himself in your baptism, your death is destroyed too. You will rise again. Because you have been adopted into the family of God, you know that that family will not end. You are a part of it. And so even though death may come and you may close your eyes in death, you will open them again to see the face of the Son of God and to behold the glory of your eternal Father. It is through Christ that is built an everlasting house, the church, the family of God. I said that starting at Abram until the end of the Bible, the story is really just one family, but that's not exactly true. It really doesn't end at the end of the Bible. The story of that family continues here today because you are a part of it. This church is your family, but more than that, because God is your father, Abraham is also your father in the faith. David and Solomon, Joseph, and on down through the line, these men are your fathers and your brothers and sisters in the faith. They belong to you and you belong to them. You are part of that same family history, part of that same story that began when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground and will never end. When Mary and Joseph lose Jesus, you can imagine that was slightly stressful. Here, God has given them the Savior of the world, and they know that, right? When Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her what's going on, she says, "You will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, and he will sit on the throne of his father David forever." So they know. That this kid is the Savior of the world. So they lose him. It's a pretty big deal. So they're running around looking for him frantically. And when they find him, Jesus sitting in the temple and sort of schooling the Pharisees and the Sadducees on what the scriptures actually mean, he tells them that he had to be about his father's business. Sometimes it's translated as to be in his father's house. But what he's getting at there is that Jesus is about the stuff of God. What he is doing here on this earth is not merely to carry on the name of Joseph and to be a carpenter and all of those things, as wonderful as that would be. He's here to save the world. He's here to bring about the salvation of mankind, to forgive every last sin, to guarantee your resurrection from the dead, to spread the reign of God to the ends of the earth. That's why he's here. And that is the family that we are drawn into. But God places his son with Joseph and Mary. He puts them in a holy family. A family that is built firmly on the Word of God. We call Mary and Joseph and Jesus the holy family, and holy can kind of stop losing its meaning for us because we use it so often in church. But holy means sort of like weird in a good way. Right? It means somebody who is completely set apart from other people, and so they sort of stick out like a sore thumb, but in a way that God intends them to stick out like a sore thumb. So what is it about the holy family, besides the fact that Jesus is there, that is so weird? What is it about them that sticks out from the rest of the world? Luke tells us that now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. Imagine that you, instead of going to church every Sunday, a few blocks from your home or maybe a few miles, had to drive to Chicago in order to worship. That's a lot more akin to what we're talking about here. It was commanded by God that they should go to the Passover every year. If you had to get up and drive to Chicago every Sunday morning for church, I imagine there would be less of you there. It's just my guess. Not trying to judge anybody's faith. But that's a guess. So you can imagine that when God commanded his people to go to Jerusalem every year for the Passover, not everybody did that. Not everybody took seriously the command of God to pack up their family and travel the many miles it would take on foot to a city that they didn't belong to find lodging and to make a go of it so that they could celebrate the Passover. Most people just stayed home. But not Joseph and Mary. They go. And Luke tells us they go every year. Because they're weird. Because they are a holy family. Because they embrace the weirdness that God has set on their family. God has said this, and so we will do it. We will take what God has given, and we will do what He has commanded. And that's not the only thing they did, right? If you back up a chapter or a few verses there, we're told that Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day, and that Mary and Joseph then go to the temple to make the appropriate sacrifice for the redemption of the firstborn son. And all of this is done according to God's command, in line with God's law and His teaching in the Old Testament, because this is what a holy family does. They listen to God's word, and they take it seriously. And they embrace the fact that, yes, this is going to make us different. This is going to make us stick out like a sore thumb in the face of the rest of the world. Even in the midst of a nation that is itself weird, Israel, Mary and Joseph were holy. So our own homes that are established by God, that are grown by God, should be built just like Mary and Joseph's home was, on the discipline of receiving God's word and then acting on it in faith. Discipline is another one of those bad words these days. But discipline and training doesn't mean punishment, right? Discipline means practice. It means training to do something over and over and over again, developing a habit. And so our habit as Christians, our discipline, at least part of it, is showing up here every week. What our families need are patriarchs. Patriarchs who will embrace the fact that God has laid on them something different from the rest of the world, something unique, something weird. Patriarchs who will lead their family to Christ week after week here in this place, day by day from the Scriptures. And then indeed we will have homes that are built on and by Jesus. Homes that will endure even through death. A friend of mine once told me that, that famous saying that you can't take it with you when you go, right? Meaning all of your wealth and all the things that you've accumulated throughout your life. He says that's true about everything that you have in life except for one thing, and that's your children. God has blessed you with children, and it is your job. It is your calling to take them with you, not immediately, but someday, so that when we all rise from the dead, it will truly be a joyous and happy family reunion, both because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of God our Father, and because of the other people that He has blessed us with. So may you in your families embrace the God who builds your family, to see children as a blessing and a reward, whether you have one or 1,000, whether you've not yet been blessed with children, or perhaps will never be, that you would continue to build up the family of God and to embrace the weirdness, the difference, the holiness that comes along with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Our Father in heaven, by whom all fatherhood is known, look with kindness upon all of our families that they may ever rejoice in the gift they have been given, the gift of siblings and parents or children. Enable the family to be a sanctuary from the ways of the world, and grant that Christian families be strengthened in their baptisms, that they may look forward to sharing eternally the salvation that is given in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Savior, the healer of both body and soul, we come before you on behalf of those who are sick, asking you to hear our prayers for Tom Hashman, Marlon Rose, and Bob Albert. Grant each in their infirmity your peace and sustaining love. We also ask you to grant success to all who are beginning new medical treatments, that the care that you have so graciously given through medicine and physicians be prosperous unto strength and health and to the praise of your gracious name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, look upon our country with favor and be peaceably disposed to our people. Like errant children, many have strayed from your ways. Please help us to see turmoil in nature and in governmental affairs as just chastisement for our sins. But we implore you to relent, O Lord, and ask you to turn the hearts and the minds of the people of this nation to right worship and praise of you, that we might not fail as a people, but rather we would be together one nation under you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the true God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you desire our life eternal, and we come to you this morning, though we have sinned and we do deserve your chastisement. But we flee to your mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave his body and his blood for our redemption. Grant to us that through faith in Christ, we may worthily approach your altar and there receive the very body and true blood which your Son has given for our salvation, that we may praise and honor your love and mercy all the days you give us on this earth. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. As we prepare to receive the sacrament of the altar this day, I would ask that those who are guests or visitors to Zion Lutheran Church, if you come forward to receive a blessing, please cross your arms over your chest so I know to give you a blessing. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing the morning worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard the Reverend Joshua Phelan deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on LCTV app on your smartphone on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise now for the singing of the offertory. You. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in His Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith, life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen.
Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you each in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Thank you.
We thank Pastor Tylan this morning for proclaiming God's grace in and with and through our families. He will be giving a presentation on the work that he and others do at Camp Silka during the coffee hour. That's bad grammar, isn't it? You do work at Camp Silka during the coffee, no. During the coffee hour, comma, Pastor Tylan will be giving a presentation on the work that he does and others do at Camp Silka. And, you know, one of the things that maybe not a lot of people know, like, you can take your camper there and hook up, right? So, got a couple days, you might be able to do that. And there's quite a bit of other things going on at Camp Silka. Thank you to the choir this morning. Wonderful. Thank you very much. 6 o'clock tonight for senior high youth is a movie night at our house. Gentlemen, please bring a drink, and the ladies bring a snack. That's the senior high youth tonight from 6 to 8 at the Thompson household. May the Lord bless. Oh, is there anything from the 150th committee? Nothing this morning? Okay. The Lord bless you all. Your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.